We're joined in the media center by Funny Car Provisional number one qualifier, Matt Hagan. Matt went to the top with his run of 3.914, 335 miles an hour, same exact speed as Brittany. He's obliterate the track record. A lot of cars obviously struggled to get down, but you guys made it down. Had to be pleased with that effort to close out qualifying.
Well, when you say provisional, you definitely mean provisional with a funny car. You know, anything can happen, and it just takes a good hour for them the clouds to break free and soak up the rain and us get out there and run. So you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. Really happy with that run. I mean, it was kind of sketch early. I mean, Dickie Venables, I mean, the dude's, he's the man. Obviously, I'm so proud to have him in our camp and in our team and making the calls out there. Mike Knudsen and Alex Conway, they all do a great job, putting these guys, with a combination that just seems to work everywhere we go, whether it's hot, cold, it doesn't really matter. They figure it out. So, but yeah, it was a little sketch early. I mean, we watched Caps go out there and, knock the tires off, actually fast rattle into smoke, and Dickie come running back in the box and he started slowing some stuff down. It went out there and did pretty much the same thing Caps was going to do. It rattled fast, and then I thought it was going to go up in the smoke, but then you could feel the timing come out of it, relax the tire, and it made it through there. And then after that, it was just kind of really running really well. 335, that's a real representation of nothing but horsepower. So you definitely tell that Dickie's got a good tune-up in the car right now. We got making lots of power. So that's kind of, obviously we all look at ET, but mile an hour is just basically a flex of how much power Dickie's making right now. So all in all, for a provisional first pull out here, we're pretty happy with that. This is my 300 start, so big milestone for me. That kind of makes me feel old, honestly. I mean, that's a lot of races, and we've won 42 races, I guess, so far out of those 300 starts, which I don't know how that figures out to a batting average, but I think it's pretty good, So, all in all with that, we have a new look on the car with Smithfield. They've been a longtime marketing partner of Tony Stewart Racing. He's over here showing him some love, and it's nice when we stick this thing on a provisional pole for him based out of Virginia. Cool little look with red, white, and blue, obviously, Military Appreciation Month, and we're able to do some of that. We're big. Obviously, we love America, man, So that being said, blessed to do what we do, and for these fans to stick around and watch us, through the rain and everything else, and being able to be out at the ropes and sign autographs, and, it's just cool. I mean, our fans love what we do. They stick around, and it shows out here, and I was just glad that we were able to throw the helmets on and put on a show for them for a little bit.
Not knowing how many qualifying runs there's going to be here, did you guys have a discussion beforehand about what you were shooting for, what's going to be a good pass?
Not really. I mean, obviously there's 15 cars here, so it's kind of one of those things, if it does anything stupid, click it off. And then with crews up there not making the run, I don't know if that counts as a DNQ if we don't run tomorrow or what, but we're kind of trying to figure out the ladder and how things might look like that. But you just want to go down the track, honestly, there's not been a lot of cars go down to lay a lot of rubber down, and kind of who knows what it looked like out there. I looked down through there and there's not a whole lot of groove as far as like, it's just narrow right now, because there hasn't been a whole lot of cars run down. And so just getting it over through there, and honestly, it went 1-1 out there, and it started digging pretty hard, made a pretty good move and dancing around, and I was just like, come on, baby, just hang tight just a little bit longer, but I'm happy with the run, and it could have gone so far the other way, such you walk a razor blade out there, right? And it's such a fine line that these crew chiefs walk, and on top of them, if I would have yarded on the car here or there a little bit, it might have come loose too, so just everything has to kind of line up sometimes, and we just hit it right and got lucky and got down through there. But it's just another testament of Dickie Venables and the group of guys that I have that can go out here and make the adjustments, make the calls. You have Robert sitting right there beside you, and it's one of those things where they're going to push and do stuff like that, and we did what we need to do to go down there and keep the points lead and position and everything else. I mean, all this stuff adds up at the end of the day.
You were talking about it went 1-1 out there. I'm sure you've talked to Dickie after the run. How close was it to not making it out there?
Well, it was actually pretty close to not making it early, around 300 feet, when it had that fast rattle, and then the timing relaxed it. And then anytime it goes one to one out there, you know, these things, these cars, what people don't realize, they make 8,000 pounds of downforce. And when it, you know, everybody says, man, you know, you see the most G-force and all this stuff at the hit, but honestly, my vision gets blurry when it goes one to one, and it's, you know, we see the most G's out there in the middle of the racetrack, and that's where it tries to pick the front end back up out there, and it's dancing around, and that's why you see a lot of these cars that run five discs, you know, they knock the tires off out there because it goes one to one so hard. I mean, back in the day when I used to run a five disc, it sounded like you broke a 2x4.5 when it would weld one to one. So it's kind of like first time it ever did it, I was like, something broke, you know what I mean? But it just was one of those things. That's just how they do. They slam together and weld. And these six discs are a lot more forgiving with that kind of application out there. So that's how sometimes with these greasier racetracks, these six disc cars, I feel like seem to get down through there a little better. But you still have guys like JC and, you know, over there with Cruz and those guys, and back in the day when Tobler, they all ran the five disc stuff, and they surprise you some days on these hot racetracks like this.
When you said it blurs your vision, does that make it more or less really stab and steer? I mean,
well,
can you really
it
see
it? It makes it tough when we test, and you know, everybody's like, cut it off at half track, and I'm just like, damn, I can't hardly see half track, you know what I mean? So I like when they tell me to make full pulls because I can see the finish line a whole lot better. But, you know, I mean, I've had hundreds and hundreds of runs in one of these cars, so, you know, you kind of get an idea where you're at on the racetrack and that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's always tricky when the clutch is locking up and the nose is dancing around out there, and your vision gets blurry and you're seeing the most G's that you've seen on the run, you know. So, yeah, after half track, you usually get through half track, it's like, okay, I'm along for the ride, unless it's putting cylinders out down there on the big end and you're wrenching on it, which with the timing curve that these things put in them now, it's usually dropping holes down there at the finish line. So that's why we drive funny cars, though, right? It's, you never know what you're going to get, right?
Anything else from that? No good?
All right.
Thanks,
Matt. Thank you.